for joining us as always. And so let's start with Sunday night. I'm sure you felt good about them winning, but could you imagine them winning in that fashion?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people really anticipated that. I think with that Buffalo team, they averaged almost 38 points per game coming into the matchup, and you got to give a lot of credit to, I mean, everybody, the defense, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, everybody deserves some credit in that one. And I was really pleased what I saw of the team.
I just thought it was, you know, watching the film, Kevin, prior to the game, I just thought it was a bad matchup for Buffalo. I just didn't think they matched up good against the Ravens. You know, like the Ravens have good corners. Their receivers, you know, are young and don't run good routes, don't run that fast. Defense is not that big. Ravens offense is big. I just thought it was really a bad matchup for Buffalo.
Yeah, and that's why I liked the Ravens to win in this game. Obviously, again, I didn't necessarily expect it to be like that, but this is a Ravens team that will impose their will physically on you, and Buffalo's a team, you mentioned it there, where they're not necessarily going to adjust to the team that they're playing, where they do play lighter, and at the end of the day, you have a team that it's difficult if you're an opponent, if the Ravens are imposing their will on you with the run game, to be able to adjust to that and stop them, especially with the added element of Derrick Henry, where, in my opinion, it's one thing with, you know, they had Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins in the past, and that was one element of their game. But with Derrick Henry, you have to account for him a lot more than you had to account for a Gus Edwards or J.K. Dobbins. And it's no disrespect to those two guys, but Derrick Henry is just, he's a different beast. So this Buffalo team, they're not big up front. And with them not adjusting, it was a match made in heaven for the Ravens. And they did what they were supposed to do against a poor run defense. Buffalo came in as a bottom third of the league in run defense. And that, to me, was a, hey, just ground and pound and see what you can do. The Ravens have thrown the ball 32 times over the past two matchups against two poor run defenses. And that's because they've been exploiting that matchup. And that's what I like to see out of the team.
We're talking to Kevin Ostreicher. It's Vinny and Haney. I forget what show I'm on here on this Tuesday. Vinny and Haney here on the Fan. Kevin, Zach Orr. A lot of questions about the new defensive coordinator through the first 3 weeks. First time calling plays. Maybe lack of aggressiveness at times. What'd you think of him on Sunday night?
I liked what he brought to the table on Sunday night. I thought that, again, we saw those growing pains over the first 3 weeks, like you said, and I think he called a lot more. I'd say he felt a lot, to me at least, it felt like he was a lot more confident as a play caller in this game, where he was trusting in his defense. And he called up, especially when it came to pressure and blitzes, he called up the blitzes, I think, in timely spots where he wasn't doing it recklessly. And against Josh Allen, it can be hard to blitz him and have success, but they got in Josh Allen's head early. And they rotated in their guys effectively. I know that there are some questions about his rotations a little bit in those first couple of weeks as well. And I thought that he was using his personnel effectively. And I think with this defense and the talent that Zach Orr has, that was always going to help him, especially as a first-time play caller and ironing out some of those things that might have hindered him if he didn't have the talent that he did. But again, that Buffalo team is not easy to stop. I think that people see this game and they see the way the Baltimore dominated, and I think, oh, well, you know, anybody can do that. Well, guess what? Not everybody can, because they came into the game undefeated, and this Baltimore defense is going to be fine. There are always going to be growing pains, and to put a statement out like that against the Buffalo team that, again, Josh Allen is a hard guy to stop, I think it showed the NFL world a lot.
I like the defense when Wiggins is on the outside and Humphreys on the inside. I thought that was Humphreys' best game.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, he tackled well. He was involved more, because when he lines up on the inside, he'll go tackle and make plays, which I thought he did a nice job on the inside, and I thought Wiggins did a hell of a job on the outside. So I kind of like, you know, what they got going there. And I like the fact that, because, you know, Humphrey, the 2 weeks before, he wasn't tackling. He was missing tackles, turning stuff down. I thought he showed up Sunday night.
Yeah, and I think for Marlon, we know how good he can be in the slot. And they love their big personnel packages where they can put Marlon in the slot. They obviously can put Kyle Hamilton up towards the line, and they're bigger defensive backs, and we'll see what they end up doing with Arthur Millette. John Harbaugh said that he'll practice this week, and we'll figure out what his status looks like. But I love the personnel package as well, where you have Nate Wiggins, who I thought has played pretty well over the first couple of weeks of his young NFL career. Did drop the two interceptions. I'm sure his teammates will never let him hear the end of that. But still, that's a package that you can rely on, I think, for the rest of the season, where with Wiggins, Stevens, and Humphrey on the field at the same time, those are your three best guys. And I think against the Buffalo team and just teams in general, they're going to throw out big receiver packages at you. And they have talent. Buffalo's receiving corps is not the best in the league, especially after losing Stephon Diggs, obviously. But I do believe that with this team, they pressed all the right buttons in this game, and they got in Buffalo's head early, and they just couldn't recover.
Kevin, how do you think they match up with Cincinnati on Sunday? They're a team that really doesn't look like they can stop the run. They gave up over 100 yards to Chuba Hubbard on Sunday. How do you like this matchup?
Yeah, I like it a lot, and for the reason exactly that you just mentioned there is the fact that Cincinnati also cannot stop the run. And so if the Ravens follow the script over the last 2 weeks that they've been following, it's punish a bad run defense. And with Cincinnati, I think they're a little more equipped to stop it, but they're beat up on the defensive line. Their defensive backs aren't necessarily these big imposing guys. And we'll see old friend Geno Stone on Sunday as well. So I think to me, on the offensive side of the ball, I like the matchup. And then defensively, I know Mike McDonald's no longer in Baltimore, but the Baltimore defense has been Joe Burrow's kryptonite for the majority of his career. And so we'll see if that was a Mike McDonald thing. We'll see if Zach Orr can pick up where he left off there. But Joe Burrow has had trouble against Mike McDonald's defense, especially when he runs all these different personnel packages or ran all these personnel packages. So I like it a lot. And I think with the Ravens cornerbacks, again, you can match up Brandon Stevens. We saw the last time these two teams matched up with Marlon Humphrey not in the game. Marlon didn't play in the Cincinnati series last year, and Brandon Stevens stepped up on Jamar Chase, and now you have Marlon back, you have Nate Wiggins. Cincinnati's run game is better this year than they had with Joe Mixon. Chase Brown and Zach Moss are actually a pretty good 1-2 punch there, but we know Baltimore's run defense is tops in the league, so they can eliminate that from Cincinnati, force them into a negative game script, and get out to an early lead. I think we could see another big game for the whole team.
Hey, Kevin, I kind of like that Harbs kind of took blame for the timeout, you know,
the back-to-back timeouts.
Yeah, on Sunday night, you know, saying that, you know, it was his fault. I wish he would have gone through, like, what's the process? Like, who's he talking to? Who tells him? Is there somebody upstairs? Because, like, when I was in Washington, Danny Smith, who's now the special teams coach at Pittsburgh, Joe had him, Danny, you got to know every rule. So you, before he would do anything, Danny, what do you think? You know, I mean, he had somebody to bounce it off that would tell him, hey, you can't do that. What is the process? You know, because Harbs didn't explain it yesterday what the process was. He just said he felt bad because he did it.
Yeah, I'm glad he took accountability, too. And I'm not sure how many people remember, but the Ravens are actually set to hire Jerry Rosberg back as kind of a game management specialist for John Harbaugh. And then that kind of fell through, and that's not there anymore. So that would have kind of been Jerry Rosberg's job, is what you just described there. So it's interesting. I mean, that whole situation was weird. But again, I mean, you have to know all the rules. And I know Buffalo called the timeout, but the Marlin got, he was on the ground, and so they charged it to Baltimore. And that whole situation was kind of like, oh, that doesn't really happen too often. But, you know, you have to, in the game of football, it cost you, you know, you had Buffalo against the ropes, and it gave him a free first down. So I'm glad Harbaugh took accountability for it. It was a bad blunder. But, I don't know. I'm curious to know what the process is as well, because I think we knew what it would have been. But now with Rosberg not in the equation, I don't know who Harbaugh's talking to.
Kevin Ostreicher, Locked On Ravens, the podcast. You can follow him. Kevin, always great. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me. Talk soon.
All right, Kevin. Vinny and Haney here on a Tuesday. Remember, Bob's, I'll be out of Pickles at 2 o'clock. Him and Mike Bordick and Ryan Ripken. Two-hour extravaganza. Before that, it's Jason and Tim and Jim Hunter for 2 hours at Pickles. So head on down to Pickles. But coming up next, we had a Monday Night Football doubleheader. We have a bunch of MLB playoff games. It's the Whip Around next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
And Lindor gets under one to center field. Harris going back. It's back out near the wall. And it's out of here. Linsanity again. Francisco Lindor flips the script with a two-run homer. And the Mets go in front 8-7.
Highlight courtesy of SNY. And the Mets beat the Braves game one of the doubleheader that had to be played because of the weather, the hurricane down in the Atlanta region. They played a doubleheader yesterday. The Mets win the opener 8-7. Vinny, this game was drunk. It was a 3-0 game heading into the eighth inning.
Yeah.
The Mets get six in the top of the eighth to take a 6-3 lead. The Braves then get four in the bottom of the eighth to take a 7-6 lead. And then the Mets, on the Lindor homer, get two in the top of the ninth. They win 8-7.
Yeah, it was like I caught like the eighth and ninth inning, Ken. And it was like a roller coaster ride, you know, depending on what team you liked. And I was for the Mets, you know. I was born in Flushing, so yeah, I'm for the Mets.
Hey, I like the whole vibe they have, the Jose Iglesias, the OMG thing. And so it's fun. And I said this to you earlier. They win the first game 8-7. I feel like the teams agreed. Because if they split, they both got in. If one team sweeps the other, then the other teams out in Arizona got in. So I feel like they said, you know what? We're both going to try hard in the first game. And whoever wins the first game, we're just laying down the second game. Because the Braves won the second game 3-0. And it felt like that game lasted 90 minutes. It just silly.
You know, I mean, whoever won the first game doesn't pay for you to play. You got to play the next day again.
So. And I'd rather fly to Milwaukee than fly to San Diego.
And San Diego is probably the hottest team right now.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good. Hey, let's switch gears. We had two Monday Night Football games. And we'll get to the other one in a minute. But, man, that Seahawks-Lions game was fun, Nolan.
Seattle's got to make a stop.
Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to throw it back to Goff. Who had that on the bingo card? Touchdown, Lions.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call on ABC. Lions beat the Seahawks 42-29, so Mike McDonald takes his first loss. Jared Goff did not throw an incomplete pass in this game and caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, I thought he was extremely efficient, and they got good receivers.
Yeah.
You know, Williams.
Jameson Williams looks real. I'm on Ross St. Brown's a stud.
Tight
LaPorta
end,
is a really good player.
And they got two running backs.
Yeah. They've got Tim Patrick now, who's not the same guy he used to be, but was really good in Denver. He caught some big passes for them last night.
And Ken, I think, you know, let Seattle get their guys back, you know, defensive players back, but they've got players on offense.
Oh, yeah, and they got two running backs. Gibbs and Montgomery are both really good.
Yeah, and Geno Smith threw for almost 400 yards.
He looked good.
But they may win that division.
Well, with San Francisco and the Christian McCaffrey issues and the Debo Samuel issues, like their injury issues, and the Rams have no O-line and they got no receivers, Seattle might win that one by default.
Ken, what do you think, like, Ayuk's issues, man? He got paid.
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
Yeah, well, he got paid, and then now he's got to get in shape.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't doing squat.
Yeah, he was having a hold-in.
Yeah, that's the problem. And, you know, you talked about it earlier with the Ravens, about them being in condition, and it's taken them like 3 weeks.
Here's the downside, and I agree with the decision, because you get guys hurt in games that don't count. I get it, especially after that 1 year where Dobbins got hurt, and you had, like, Marcus Peters got hurt, but that was in practice. But still, you lose all those guys when it doesn't count. I get the decision not to play guys in the preseason. But what happens is you look super sloppy the first couple weeks of the year.
Yeah. And, Ken, you know what's crazy is like when I was in San Fran or Washington, you know, there was four.
Yep.
And first preseason game, your starters play a series.
Yeah.
Second preseason game, your starters play a quarter, maybe into the second. Third preseason game's dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
You're playing first series of the third quarter, so you go through halftime.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth, you don't play. So, you know, so you kind of get ramped up a little bit. And now they don't play whatsoever. So, like you said, a lot of those guys, Ken, they haven't even tackled anybody yet.
No. I thought Roquan Smith, for one, looked a little slow coming out of the gate this year.
Yes, he has.
And Kyle Hamilton didn't look right coming out of the gate this year.
who looked good, other than Travis Smith. Travis Jones, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Oway.
Yeah.
Oway always comes out of the gate.
Matabike's look good, but he doesn't. He's not dominating.
Well, Matabike can basically, he's gotten hosed. He should have two more sacks. You know, the
that
end zone.
Stupid pass interference.
And then when he got the penalty for the hold or the face mask or whatever.
And he didn't hit the face mask. He hit the chest.
Yeah.
Quickly, the Titans beat the Dolphins 31-12 yesterday.
Very quickly.
Tyler Huntley was awful. 14 of 22 for 96 yards. Rushed for 40 yards and a late touchdown, which didn't matter. Tyreek Hill yelling on the sidelines. Jalen Waddle doesn't look like he wants to be there. You know, this Tua thing, they're a mess.
And Ken, I don't know if the coach can handle him.
McDaniel, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. I think he's like, when things are going good and he can be his freewheeling, free spirit self, you know, that plays well. But when you got to be the disciplinarian and handle all these guys' personalities, can he do it?
Coming up next, Vinny and Haney, Ryan Ripken. He'll be part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight crew today, live at Pickles from 2 to 4 with Mike Bordick and Bob Haney. He'll talk to us as the playoffs begin today. How's he feel about the Birds? Ryan's going to tell us next here on The Fan. Different time slot, Ryan, but same question I always ask. Are the Orioles fine?
How we doing, everybody? How we doing, fellas? Yeah, you know what? The O's are fine now, right? This is where you want to be. Look, I know it's not perfect, and I was just listening to Jordan Westberg talk, you know, about it himself, and I talked to Westy on the side. You know, they went through a lot of adversity and struggles, but and you guys have heard me say this before, that to me is what a true 162 is. There isn't this part of the season where, hey, everything's going to go your way. Now, a lot of things went wrong for Baltimore, and yet here they are, right? They're in the postseason. You got Corbin Burns on the mound in game one. You got Zach Eflin that's emerged here as that second starter that you're hoping for, and you're getting as healthy as you possibly can offensively, and you have momentum. You know, the last two series, New York and Minnesota, you're seeing this team start to come together. So, yeah. I think the O's are fine. They're in the right position that they need to be, and hopefully that starts with a game one victory against Kansas City.
Hey, Ryan, do you think Hyder has the quick hook with Burns, or he lets him get himself out of trouble if he gets into any trouble?
I hope that he lets him ride, you know, because I think Corbin's one of those guys that he's earned and showed you that he can work out of jams. I mean, he's been the ace of the staff this year, right? And I know he had the rough month of August. Heck of a September, though, by the way, to finish. He's a guy that you want to trust in those situations. Now, I will say, if he is getting hit around and it's four or five runs early on, then, yeah, I could see it being a hook. But if it's just a couple runners on here and there, and Corbin, which he had done most of the year, Corbin finds a way. I always think the great pitchers, you give them a chance to go out and be great even when situations get tough. And Corbin has proved that more times than not throughout the course of this year and his career, that I think he deserves that.
We're talking to Ryan Ripken. It's Vinny and Haney here on the Fan. Ken Wyman sitting in. Bob will be up at at 2 with Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Mike Bordick and our own Ryan Ripken right here. Ryan, roster out for the wild card round. Anything surprise you? Maybe Colin Selby, who just got here on the postseason roster for this round?
I wouldn't say anything necessarily surprises me anymore. You know, look, I think that you're looking at kind of how you want to match up, right? So I think there's kind of a little bit of a revolving door with the final couple of relief spots. Is that a fair assessment to say?
Yeah.
You guys agree?
Yeah.
So in that case, it just depends on pick who you think fits that specific role. You know, you saw last year where Baker was one of the guys added instead of, you know, Bauman, I think, was between the two, if I remember that correctly. So, no, nothing that's new to me. You just hope with the guys that you have and what's going to, you know, the goal is you want the main guys that you're going to count on, you know. And then we talked about Corbin Burns a second ago trying to go deep into the game. You know, that's going to be the biggest thing for this team. Their strength truly is their starting rotation, right? So they're going to need, whether it's going to be Corbin, Eflin, Dean, you know, those are the guys they're going to count on. And the fourth one I'll say that you got to throw in, Albert Suarez is that guy that I think would be the first out of the 10 anyway, you know, if it does get into trouble early. So I just want to throw that out there.
Well, Suarez is not on the roster for this round. Remember that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We knew that because he pitched six innings on Sunday.
That's right. I completely forgot about that. There it is. So there I have to get more up to date before the Baltimore baseball tonight there.
I'm here to educate.
That makes more sense there, but it also further validates, because I want to throw this part out here. You got your best reliever back, in my opinion, Danny Coulomb. Like, that's the guy that you want back, but you don't want to overstretch your best bullpen pieces, right? So if that's the case then, and correct me if I'm wrong, did I see it right? Is Povich is on there,
yes,
right?
K. Povich is there, yes.
So Povich, to me, would be the long relief guy if you need him. That's what I would hope to do. And then for those other guys, though, for your starters, look, it's your strength. I like what the Orioles bullpen has shown in flashes, but I'm not going to come out here and say that this is the best group that they've had, but they have good pieces. The strength is with the starting rotation. And if Eflin or Burns or Dean can't go deep into the game, that could be problematic for the Birds just because of the way it's lined up. But hopefully then for a guy like Selby, he could be used, but you don't want to have him be in a position in that high leverage just because, let's just face it, it's a part of a lot of these younger pitchers in general don't have all the experience in the postseason.
How do you like the matchup?
I love the matchup, but also it kind of terrifies me at the same time, because we're talking about this whole series in general with the Kansas City Royals. Cole Reagans is a guy that, man, I like his stuff. And people forget he was the guy that was traded over from the Rangers for Chapman.
Yep.
And tremendous stuff. But he is susceptible, and he's got weird splits with lefties and righties. But a guy that's got really good stuff, has a good cutter, good off-speed pitches, can set up with his fastball. And also game two, it looks like Seth Lugo's throwing for the Royals. And he was probably one of the best acquisitions in baseball in the offseason, coming over there in free agency. So, look, they're really scrappy. They like to run, and that's something that we know gives someone like Corbin Burns an issue and some of the catching, you know, situations. The Royals are going to try to I'm not going to say play small ball, but they're going to try to push the envelope. So I think that this is going to be a scratch-and-claw series, but one thing that goes in the Orioles' favor is they found ways to win the games versus Kansas City. They very well could have lost the series earlier, but when push came to shove, they made the winning plays, and having that type of mindset over a team actually can give you an advantage on top of it. But I think it's going to be really competitive, and what's not to like? You got great pitchers. You have two young star shortstops. It's going to be a tremendous matchup, but I can tell you what, it's going to be a stressful one there at the yard.
Ryan, Brandon Hyde, and again today during media availability, says he is not ready to announce the Game 2 starter, says he's going to announce after this game who's starting in Game 2. Is there any reason to think it's not Zach Eflin? Could Dean Kramer be your Game 2 starter?
You know, I was thinking about that. I don't see how it – unless you win Game 1, you say, you know what, push comes to shove – you have Eflin for a game three if you need it, and or he starts game one of the DS, right? But it just feels like to me you got to win first. You know, you want to try to close things up. I love what Dean's done. So maybe the only reason Dean doesn't throw game two, Dean throws game two if the Orioles fall.
How are the matchups, Ryan, with Eflin versus the Royals and Dean versus the Royals?
You know, they're both. So Eflin, I would just give the overall nod to in any situation, regardless of team. The biggest part being is just his veteran presence and understanding and being around the game. If you go and watch Zach Eflin or you watch him this season, especially for the Baltimore Orioles, the dude just knows how to pitch. You know, he doesn't throw very hard. He knows how to mix his two-seamer, sinker, cutter, and he keeps hitters off balance. Dean has the flashes to shut down every lineup. He's just not as consistent with his stuff. So the one thing that could get Dean in trouble, which it has at times, is you leave some of those pitches over the plate for them to have, you know, be mistakes, right? So like that's kind of where Eflin doesn't usually leave a ton of mistakes. He did have an uncharacteristic outing against the Yankees, which, you know, maybe he was, you know, celebrating a little bit too hard. He had a career high in walks, 5. He had 5 total walks in the last 6 outings prior to that. So I think the matchup's better for me, or confidence-wise, I should say, would be with Eflin just because of what he's shown you. But I'm confident if we saw the Dean we saw in September, yeah, Dean's a really good pitcher. It's just about being consistent, and good teams with good players are going to make you pay if you leave one over the middle part of the plate, especially when you're trying to put hitters away.
All right, Ryan, before we let you go, are you taking the Orioles in 2 or 3?
Oh, sugar. You got me all rattled now. Well, I'll say this. I pray they win game 1. I could see this going 3. In all honesty, I do. I just hope that they win game 1. I don't care what happens. And the reason why I say it, last year, every team that won game 1, right, went on to win the series and sweep it. Most teams that win game 1 of the wild card end up winning the series. So give me a game 1 victory, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see this go to 3.
Head on down to Pickles. Ryan Ripken, Mike Bordick, Bob Haney. They're going to be there starting at 2, a 2-hour Baltimore Baseball Tonight extravaganza. Ryan, thanks as always for your time, man.
Thanks, Ryan.
I appreciate you guys. Go Birds.
Yeah. Coming up at noon, Vinny, it's Jason Lockenford, Tim Barbalace, and Jim Hunter live from Pickles. So 4 hours of Pickles fun. That's a lot of Chuck Bucks, Nolan. You know what I'm talking about there. We'll come back. We'll get Vinny's Feeble 5. We'll take a trip to the Funhouse, and we'll get you ready for Jason, Tim, and Jim. That's at noon here on The Fan.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble 5.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, before we take a trip to the Funhouse, if time permits, let's get Vinny's. We got your Dirty Dozen earlier. Time for the Feeble 5.
Yes, let's recap week 4. 1 was Jacksonville, 2 Tennessee, 3 Carolina, 4 Cleveland, 5 Miami. So, coming in at number 5, 1-3 Arizona.
You suck!
They lost to Washington 42-14. They're at the Niners. The Cards, they're one of 2 NFL teams allowing over 8 yards per pass play.
Oh.
The other team is the Rams. Coming in at 4, 1-3 New England.
You suck!
Yeah, they lost at San Fran 30-10.
We were just talking about them. Like, what do they have? What is their, like, who are their blue chip players?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And they're playing Miami. They're hosting Miami this week. Pats are last in the NFL in total offense, gaining 238 yards per game. So coming in at number 3, of course, would be 1-3 Miami.
You suck!
They lost to Tennessee 31-12, and they're at the Patriots. The Dolphins have scored 1 touchdown since Tua went down.
They're awful. That was a painful watch last night.
Yes, it was. Coming in at number 2, 1-3 Carolina.
You suck!
They lost to Cincy 34-24. They are at the Bears. And the Panthers, they're last in the NFL, allowing touchdowns on 92% of drives in the red zone. So getting a red zone, you're getting the score. And then last but not least, number 1, 0-4 Jacksonville.
You suck!
How much longer does Doug Peterson last?
I don't know, because they say he and Trent Baalke aren't getting along, but that's kind of Trent's
MO. Isn't that Trent's thing? Yeah.
He did it with Harbaugh.
Yeah.
You know, and the Niners kept Trent instead of Harbaugh, which was idiotic.
Yeah, that was a good decision. Yeah. These decisions go.
The Jags have scored 3 points total in the 4th quarter this year. I don't... Watching Peterson, I mean, and they're like begging him, like on media and all that, he needs to call plays again, and he won't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So 1 is Jacksonville, 2 is Carolina, 3 Miami, 4 New England, 5 Arizona. You know, I had Cleveland was an option, you know, again.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot of teams in contention for those spots.
Some bad football being played. Before we step out, Nolan, should we take a trip to the Funhouse?
Yeah, we'll do a few here.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Yippee-ki-yay, yippee-ki-yay, galloping all the way. Here comes
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Our first texter here says, it's hard for me to trust anyone in the bullpen right now, but I'd lean on Danny Coulomb before anyone else in a one-run game. Offense has to do the heavy lifting no matter what.
Yeah, and that's what Ryan Ripken just said last segment. He's your best reliever. I will say this. Over his last 16 and a third innings, Gregory Soto has not been bad.
Yeah.
Now, do I trust him fully? No, but he's filthy. It's just, unfortunately, he doesn't know where the ball's going half the time.
Yeah, I don't know. You want to put him in a high-leverage position with games 2-2 or whatever.
He's been better than Dominguez of late.
Yeah.
Another one here says, excited for this matchup. Two young teams that went through rebuilds around the same time. Adley and Witt coming from the same draft, plus Salvador Perez, still a holdover from the 2014 team that broke the Orioles' hearts. Lots of great storylines at play.
Absolutely. And, Benny, if you had it all do over again, would you still take Adley or would you take Bobby Witt Jr.?
Well, then the only thing is then would you have taken Gunner?
Yeah, you take Gunner in the second round. They take a ton of shortstops, and Gunner could just be at third base.
Then that makes total sense, Ken.
I guess there were some debates around slot money. I don't know if that factored in, if that helped him get Gunner. I don't know.
I think at the time, Adley Rutschman looked like the guy, and he's... He was the great catcher behind the plate. They said he was ready defensively when he was a senior at Oregon State. Unfortunately, this year, he hadn't hit, and he's been bad behind the plate. So I think he's hurt, but we'll see.
So would it shock you if he was DH today and McCann was catching just because Burns, you know, likes to let runners run to second?
I would not surprise me at all if McCann's behind the plate today. Now, where's Adley batting as he's DHing? That's a different subject because I think they'll have him high in the lineup, and I wouldn't.
Norm, what do you think?
Well, I wouldn't take any chances because that's one of Kansas City's strong suits is running.
Yeah.
So you got to do whatever you can to neutralize that. Before we close up shop here, almost forgot, we do have two more giveaways. I'm giving away a pair of tickets to see Metallica. They're going to be at Northwest Stadium in D.C. That's coming up May 28th of next year. You can win a pair of tickets right now. I'm looking for caller number 6, 410-583-1057.
Did you say you have two giveaways or just that one?
Two tickets.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Yeah.
Two tickets to Paradise,
yeah. Had a little Eddie Money for you. Very nice. Ed Reed as well. If you're a Ravens fan, you know the reference. Hey, that is it for us, but keep it locked in because we're heading down to Pickles next. Jason Lockenfora, Tim Barbalace, Jim Hunter. They're taking you till 2. Then it's Bob Haney, Mike Bordick, Ryan Ripken, Baltimore Baseball Tonight till 4, and then ESPN Radio's coverage of Orioles and Royals right here on 105.7 The Fan.